Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
I don't think we're tied up in these verses. I just don't want to rush through the Word of God. I think we should just really enjoy it and just park when we need to park. But I thought I was going to get through verses 6 through 8 in one message. This turned into 3 or 4 messages. Look at verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We talked about that. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. We talked about all of that. We had messages on that. Now the Bible says, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Holy Spirit is the one who chooses what gifts you and I receive when we get saved. It's not a restaurant where we go to the menu and say, I want that. The Holy Spirit is the one, therefore, who tells you and tells me what position we're playing on the team. This isn't a dad going to the baseball coach and saying, I think my son should pitch. I think my son should play first base. And the coach says, no, he's playing left field. I don't like that. Too bad. That's more like how it goes. Okay? The Holy Spirit gave you and I gifts. And when we act like the dad who's upset that his kid didn't be able to be the star pitcher or the star catcher, when Christians act like that, they're basically blaspheming God and saying, God, what you gave me isn't good enough for me to be used by you. But God is the one who tells us where we should be serving within his body. Why? This isn't the Elks Lodge, that's why. It's not the Chamber of Commerce where we're gathering together trying to get business networks and social class. Because it's Christ's church. It's his church. That's why he is the one who should be served, and we can only serve him if we submit to the gifts that he gave us and be happy and content with it.
Amen.
Ladies, if you don't have the gift of teaching, don't host a women's lunch where you're the teacher. Host the lunch and find one of the ladies that God has given that gift so that it works. Does that make sense? That's the way that it ought to be. Now, many Christians, what I just said, many Christians don't like that. Because we approach church and we approach Christianity with our agendas. And God says, I gave you gifts, so forget about your agenda. It's tough being a pastor nowadays. It's always been tough being a pastor. Because a pastor can't please everybody. It's impossible. You can look long and hard enough and find something that I disappointed you about. But you know what? We can flip the table and I can do the same thing to you. I can say, you know what? It's really disappointing that you didn't come to midweek service. It's really disappointing that you didn't come to any of the outreaches. It's really disappointing. Well, just keep beating the sheep, Brother Jimmy. Just go ahead. If I act like that, or if I think like that, is that of God? It's not. It's not of God. It's me as a preacher with an agenda. You know what I should just do? Serve. Just serve God. You can't, and I can't. We can't, as a church body, please everybody. So why would we even start looking down that road? Who should we be pleasing, church family? God. God. And Romans 12 says, hey, if you all know you're supposed to please me, then figure out which one of these gifts you have. Get your eyes off of people and start serving me within my body because it's my church. I'm not trying to split hairs. I'm trying to bring it down to this is what God has called every individual Christian to do. Serve within the local body that you got to choose. Well, be careful here, preacher. Be careful. Or that he chose. Social media is a great tool. YouTube is a great tool. I'm not denying that. But it has also created a lot of narcissistic, the Bible calls it vain, Christians, where they can listen to what they like and tune off what they don't like. And they can pick where they want to go and who they want to listen to long enough and then just disconnect. God says, no, you serve. And if you find out what your gift is and you start serving me, you'll stop worrying about everybody else's faults. Because most of it isn't sin. It's just faults. It's just quirks. And we get our eyes on him. Now, you do need a pastor that can rule well. And if he's not ruling well, then you need to move on. I think that's fair to say. Go to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Talk about a couple of things regarding ruling. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Bible says in verse number 17, you've been with us Thursday nights, you know I've parked here quite a bit, so I won't stay long this morning. 1 Timothy 5, let. How do you... Look, there's people within the body of Christ that have the gift of ruling. It says, if you have that gift, God wants you to use it, do it well, okay? But you've got to let the elders that rule well, you've got to let them do it. See the first word, let. If you don't give somebody that has the gift of ruling the allowance, it's not going to work. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Someone that rules well should be paid double. That's a biblical principle. I'm not fishing for nothing. I'm not. But that is a biblical principle. There has to be an allowance to let them rule. Why? Because they're worth it. So allow, if someone has the gift of ruling, and if let's say this brother back here has that gift and we're trying to get a nursing home ministry together and he can head it up and he can rule it well and he's in agreement with our doctrinal position and salvation and all that, well, I've got to let him do that. I can't bound his arms and chain his feet and say no. All I would be doing is blaspheming God. If God gave a man or a woman a gift, let him use it. That's what we want to be at Pilgrim. You got a gift? All right, let's figure it out and let's get you out in the battlefield so you can use it to serve him. All right, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And through all that, you're going to have to deal with the quirks of your pastor. I have the gift of... making last-minute decisions. Here, you go rule that up. Well, preacher, I don't think I can. Don't worry about it, just go do it. Well, wait, I don't think... Look, you can't do that either. You can't do that either. You want to make sure the person has the gift before you try to tell them they have something that the Holy Spirit didn't give them. Okay? So there's a sensitivity there that I need to be aware of. We all need to be aware of that. Hebrews 13. Watch this. Remember. We learned let. Now we're going to learn the word remember. Let them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, I am not a good fisherman. Matter of fact, I try to take my kids out every... We're going to try it again this year. And the same thing's going to happen. I'm going to take them out. And my wife's going to smile when I leave. And I'll have a great time. And we are until we're not. Because every time I disappoint the whole family. Because I can't catch fish! Dad, when are we going to catch a fish? I don't know. Trying. And they all get excited. My dad's going to take me out fishing. Except Dad can't catch fish. So if I would go down to Candy Creek and I hire the guy, the fisherman, to take me out fishing. And we get in that boat and I say, yeah, we can catch some fish today. Here's what we're going to do. Yeah, just go down yonder and we'll park it there, drop the line. And you know what that fisherman's going to say to you? How about you? Your kid said you haven't caught a fish in 5 years. How about you let me be in charge, because you don't know what you're doing, son? And wasn't that what the fisherman would say? He would. If I don't know how to fish, I should not get on the boat with the fisherman and say, here's how we do it. Yet many Christians come into church, they haven't been in church, they don't study the Bible, they got all this stuff going through their mind that they saw on YouTube, and they think they're going to come in here and they're going to be the ones that are going to rule. No! Prove yourself faithful first, get some lessons, and you know what? Maybe after 6 weeks, after the real professional fisherman sees that I actually learned something, maybe then he might say, hey, where do you want to go this morning? But until then, he gets the rule. And then he's going to teach me about how to cast a rod and a reel. He's going to teach me the parts of the rod. He's going to teach me the parts of the reel. And you know what? When I finally take my kids out on their own, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remember what that man taught me. And you know what Hebrews 13 says? Why don't you just remember? Those that had rule, did they, look at verse 7. Did they speak unto you the word of God? Remember them. Young people, I like that you got your nose buried in the book. I'd rather you look at your Bible and get all the verses, but look up here for 1 second. Tomorrow, can you remember what you were taught in church? That's the idea. If someone's speaking the word to you, remember that. Don't forget it. You wouldn't do that in sports or fishing sports, none of that. Don't do it with the word of God. Now, it says in verse number 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. It talked about in 1 Timothy how they should rule well. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a tent maker. I don't make tents, but the principle there is I work like Paul worked, because when Paul needed money, he made some tents. So I work. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not trying to complain. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just stating that as a fact, that that's what I do. And we run these tournaments. And they're supposed, people like it because we run them well. There's a lot of tournaments that aren't run well at all. They're very disorganized. The staff is rude. They're not run well. And you know what people do at the end of that tournament? They complain. They complain to the owner. They complain to the staff. They yell at the ref. Welcome to sports. But in 2 months, when they're over it and the tournament circuit comes around again, guess what they do? They take out their wallet and they go pay that same guy they were complaining about that didn't run it well. He didn't rule it well. And they give that man, that company, their money. You know what happens sometimes we do? We just blow it. We run it. It's unorganized. The whole thing goes south. And you know who gets the complaints? Our staff. I pay them to take the complaints. And if it's real bad, it gets to me and I'm ashamed. What happened, guys? Here's what happened. And you know what happens after 2 months when the smoke blows over? That same parent that was complaining is there with their wallet open and they're smiling and they're ready to do it again. You say, Brother Jimmy, what in the world does that have to do with anything in the Bible? Here's what it has to do with. Worldly people, unsaved people, act more like Christ without the Holy Spirit than a lot of saved people do. You know how it goes in church? Well, you offended me. I'm not giving. I'm leaving. That's wrong. That's wrong. You know how many times I've offended my wife in our marriage? The first 5 or 10 years, there should be a poster made for me as the worst husband that lived. The things that I've said to her, the way that I've said things to her, you know what she didn't do? Leave! Christians are awful with this. God has called you and I to a body. We are to get focused on the gifts that He gave us within that body, and we are to serve Him. Competitors complain, but they still come back and pay. Christians complain, they don't come back, and they're done paying. Because that's what they were doing. Paying, not giving. Giving is this. I'm as guilty as anybody. I am going to give to my wife, and I am not going to expect anything in return. I give you this, and then I go, and she didn't even say thank you. That is not giving. That is trying to buy affection. That is trying to buy praise. If you're going to serve God, don't expect anything from me. You're giving to God. And when I serve you, I don't expect anything from you. I shouldn't. Well, this brother, he only comes every 2 weeks and this and that, and he should be here more. He should sell his house and he should sell his boat and he should come here. What is that? How come I can't just be thankful that he's here now?
Amen. Amen.
And praise the Lord. And I mean that, brother. And I mean that. I want to give, and I want you to give, and I want our church to give in a way that doesn't expect anything back in return. That is somebody who has the gift of ruling, and they do it good. Amen. I believe that's Bible. Now, we're never going to get through this whole message this morning. All right, Hebrews 13, look at verse 17. Verse 17, Hebrews 13. Look at the 17th verse. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm not obeying nobody. I'm not submitting to nobody. Nobody's telling me what to do. Well, God says you're wrong. God says if somebody's laboring in the Word, if somebody's speaking the truth from the Word, if somebody's watching your souls that like they ought to be because it's found in what the Word says, then God says you're supposed to obey and submit. But you know what? If you don't like obeying and submitting, it don't matter what the Bible says about those that rule. It don't matter. You know what you used to have in the old days? Here's what you had. There was a blowout that turned into a shout out that resulted in people going out. That's what it was. That was the church split. Everybody knew where everybody stood. You know how it is nowadays? People pull back from you. I talked to a preacher the other day, and people they start pulling back. They start pulling back. They stop coming to church. They come in, and then all of a sudden you got the emails and the text messages, and you got the secret meetings and all that, and then boom, it comes into the preacher's face. And now the preacher's left, with 20 people leave. And they just miraculously all show up at the same church, just by the providential hand of God. That's how it goes nowadays. But you know what never happens nowadays? They're now new preacher, because everybody knows who their new preacher is, because they post it all over Facebook. This is our, we've just joined this church, 20 of you in the same. How come the new preacher was never moved by God to call the former pastor? Because you got people, they don't want anybody ruling over them. And if they have to, they'll rally the troops and leave. That don't happen. It might not happen here, but it happens all over the country. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's right if sin is happening and not being addressed. Because that you wouldn't be ruling well if you don't address sin. It's right if church discipline hasn't been exercised and it needed to be. Then it's right. But when you have someone ruling well, stay put. Stay put. I'll tell you the number one thing that ruins pastors nowadays. You ready for this? The number one thing. It ruins pastors. It ruins pastors' wives. It ruins pastors' children. And it ruins church members. And it ruins church people. Alcohol? No. Drugs? No. Infidelity? No. Poor church attendance? No. A love for the lost to go out and witness? No. No, all that's still there. You know what ruins them? Bitterness. Bitterness. If you and I aren't careful, we will become bitter at those that have rule. But God says, I have given some people within my body the gift of ruling, and if they do it well, and if they're in the Word, let them, remember them, honor them. That's what God's word says. Does it say that? Do we read it? You know why they get bitter? Dad, how come that family left? Dad, how come that family left? How come those kids aren't sticking around? I thought they loved us, Dad. What happened? Where's such and such? Now you tell me, how am I supposed to deal with that? You tell me, how's our church supposed to deal with that? It doesn't just happen here. It happens in every church across America. And God doesn't want it so. We don't need half the churches we have in town. We don't. We don't. We don't need them. Close them up. We don't need them. It would force people to get along. My wife's faithful in all things. She would never say this, so I'll say it. I'm a difficult person.
Amen.
Amen. I am a difficult person. She would never say that, but she said it to me. I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. I realize I am a difficult person. I'm bullheaded. I am. I don't like it. But she didn't leave. Does the Bible tell me to love my wife? Right, men, does the Bible tell us to love our wives? Okay, I'm going to make you better love me. It's Monday, you better love me. It's Tuesday, I'm going to shake her by the, I'm going to shake her so hard until she loves me. I'm going to make you love me. You better love me, it's Wednesday, you didn't love me. But putting her in a headlock on Friday, making her love me. You better love me. Am I supposed to love my wife? Yeah. I'm supposed to love her. She don't put me in a headlock and say, I'm going to make you love me. When I come home, she doesn't hip toss me and say, and put me on the ground and put me in an arm bar and say, you better love me now. Because that's not how love works. My wife doesn't make me love her. Now, does the Bible say that she should submit to me? Is that what the Bible says? Okay. Do I make her submit? If she's not making me love her, yet the Bible tells me, God tells me I'm commanded to love her, she never makes me do that. The Bible tells her that she should submit to me, yet I am never supposed to make her submit. In Ephesians 5, do we see that picture of how Christ loved the church and he gave himself and that marriage picture? You know what you got in the church? People that have the gift of ruling. You need to let them, you need to remember them, and you need to honor them. And you know what they should never do? Make you submit. Make you obey. You know how many evangelistic calls I've given for people to come out and evangelize, and people don't? I mean, let's just be honest. Some because they're older, and I get it, I don't expect you to go out. But if I were to knock on your door, if I were to knock on Sister Caroline's door, and when Danny opens it, I said, you know what? You two should have been out preaching on the street at the festival the other week. And you know what Sister Caroline's going to say? Brother Jimmy, I've got a walker. Takes me 5 minutes just to get into the church house. You want me to start? And Danny's going to say, hey, son, you know how old I am? Because you're supposed to rule well, and that would not be ruling well. What am I saying? Don't envy or be bitter or get jealous of someone that has the gift of ruling. If they're doing it well, let them. Remember them. Honor them. They should never make you. They should never make you. That's not the picture God gave with his church. Okay, we're doing good on time. I'll read these verses. Well, go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. I know you kids have some new notebooks, so you can write these verses down. Write them down and then turn. So if you don't get to it, you can go back to it and remember it later. Proverbs 16. Look at verse 32. Man, how do you rule in today's world? Proverbs 16. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit. And he that taketh the city. You say, I don't know if I have the gift of ruling or not. You know what Proverbs tells us? I don't care if you do or not. God says, you better get control and start with ruling your own spirit. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of whatever's in there. Look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Dangerous. You're not protected. So God says, hey, get control. You want to start with ruling, whether you have that gift from the Holy Spirit or not? God says, look, here's what I want everybody to do. Rule your own spirit. Amen? Now in Romans 12, we'll do some doctrinal stuff here. Romans 12, verse 8, you have ruling. It says it's listed as a gift. In Romans 12, it's not listed as an office. Okay? So doctrinally, let's get an understanding of this. Go to 1 Timothy 3 so we can see the distinction. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3, look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 1. You see what it says? If a man desire the office of a bishop, Okay, so we're talking about offices. What's the difference between an office and a gift? Well, a gift, you have a gift from God, and you can use it or not use it. You're not going to lose that gift, but if God has gifted you, you can either yield to His Holy Spirit and use it, or you can say, no, Lord, I don't care. But you have that gift. You're saved. The Holy Spirit imparts upon you a gift. You have men that have the gift of teaching. They're pastoring a church. They fall into infidelity. They're unfit to serve the body of Christ in that capacity. Okay? Would everybody agree with that? Okay? You should say amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. But you know what they don't lose? They don't lose their gift of teaching. It's not like when that happens and they step down, all of a sudden they can't teach. No, they can. What happens is a lot of times they just move these fellows around. They just move them to another church, another town. They just start over. You know why they can do that and it can seem like it's successful? Because the guy's got the gift of teaching. See, the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, He gives you a gift. And if you fall into sin, He don't take that gift away. You still have it. Make sense? Now, but an office is different than a gift. In an office, you have to meet qualifications, and it must be qualifications. And it must be evident to others within the body that you have met those qualifications before you have the honor of having the office of a bishop, deacon, or elder. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's the difference there. And in 1 Timothy 3, look at verse number 4. It says, one of the qualifications of a bishop is that it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. He has to rule well his children. It says in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy 3, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Now, I want to say this, because this is important to say nowadays. Church in America has become a performance on Sunday. And preachers go home and they bring the stress of the ministry to their family. It shouldn't be. We put on an act on Sunday. I don't mean we. I mean culturally Christianity. We put the act on Sunday, and then we go live different Monday through Saturday. That's not the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern, even if you're not going to be a deacon or a bishop or an elder, the biblical pattern is you don't bring the stress from church home. You bring the joy of the Lord from your home into the church house. You rule well at home, and that now spills over into the corporate assembly. Does that make sense? That's why that qualification is there. Why? Because God is trying to protect His church against charlatan pastors and deacons and elders and bishops who put on the show. Who put on the show. Now, I don't think it's a sin to have minister chairs up on the pulpit. But I'm one of those preachers that I just take them down. Because I've seen too many staged pulpits where you got the preacher boys lined up. You know, they all have a white shirt, because if you don't have a white shirt on, you're not called of God and all that nonsense. And, you know, they're going to shake the hanky and they're going to shake their Bible and they're going to do all this. They're going to do all that. They're going to put on all the theatrics. But at home, they're not ruling well. And God don't want that. You think it's like that all the time? I don't. It's just one of those pet peeves. It's a fault that I have when I see things. I'm sure I know preachers have ministers' chairs and they sit up there. It's easier for them to see who's coming in the front. Fine. Different motive. Take what I said before and throw it out. I'm saying, if your motive is theatrics, IMAX theater stuff, and you're not ruling well at home, God says that it is backwards. it's backwards. Where is this listed in Romans 12 in the list? Second to the last. You know where it's listed in 1 Corinthians 12? In 1 Corinthians, you know where it's listed? It's also listed second to last as governments, those gifts. You know, some people don't. I read a lot of commentaries, and you know, some don't like the translation of the word ruleth. They get it mixed up with the gift and the office because they're focused on the office and they think it should be at the top of the list. But God in Romans 12 says it's a gift. Use it right. Use it right. And men who glory in offices, it's not the way it ought to be. It's not the way it ought to be. We have fewer and fewer people taking the responsibility of service. Fewer and fewer Christians won't give up leisure time or pleasure time to serve God and use the gifts that He gave them. Some people falsely claim that they're unfit or they're unworthy, but the reality is they're just making excuses because they're lazy. Use the gifts that God gave you. You need to do it the right way. If you're called to pass out the communion elements, do you know you can do it not diligently? You can teach a lesson and not have your heart and your mind into it. You can be disconnected from people. That's not someone who rules the way God wants them to rule. Go back to Romans 12. We'll start to wind down, but I would like to make a few more points before we close out. Go to Romans 12. And God makes it real clear, Romans 12, verse number 8, he that ruleth, comma, with diligence. God gives the warning that if you have that gift, don't take it easy. And don't think that things will just take care of themselves. If you have been gifted by God with the gift of ruling, it's going to require biblical thought and biblical discretion. And you're going to have a backbone to be diligent to look over whatever area God has given you. The Bible says the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I'd like you to tune in a little bit on this because this is important, this point. There was a young boy and he had a job at a leather shop. And he was real excited about this job because the owner of the leather shop, one, hired him and he had to handle all of the leather hides. His job was to sort them out by size, to hang them and stock them where they needed to be. But this young boy, he soon got frustrated because by year two, his boss kept him on the same job. By year three, he's impatient with his boss because his boss kept him on the same job. All you're going to do is handle the hides. And this young boy wanted to make something. He wanted to make a leather belt. He wanted to make a leather wallet. He wanted to make some leather projects. But his boss kept him, "No, son, your job is you're going to handle these leather hides, and that's all I've hired you for, and that's all you're going to do." And the boy never appreciated it until one day he opened up his own leather shop and he had to purchase his own leather hides. And you know what happened? When he made his first order and he touched that leather, he knew by exact touch if it was quality or not. Because he was diligent in what his boss had him do. He didn't quit the job. He thought it was mundane. He was frustrated. He got impatient. But he didn't quit. And after 3 years of touching all of those hides, when it came time for him to open up his shop, he had an exact touch and he would never get ripped off. He knew quality because of what his boss required him to be diligent in. Christian people, church family, saved person. If God has given you some rule over something, be diligent about what it is. Young people, have your parents given you something to rule over at the house? Be diligent in it. It may be mundane. In many ways, it's easier to be an evangelist, what they call nowadays. You go around and you got 12 messages and you just rotate them. You know where the laughs are going to come. You know when the amens are going to come. You know when the on's going to come, and you change that part. It's a lot harder. The mundane, I don't think my job's mundane, but there is, it's the mundane of pastoring. You got to come up with a new sermon 4 times a week. Be diligent. If God has given you something, be diligent in it.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.